What a wonderful morning it is, isn't it? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Once again, we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Last time we were together, we were in verses... Oh, there goes my page. We were in verses 17 and 18, so we're going to start in verse 19. It just got done talking about the law. Jesus Christ did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to cause it to abound, to give it wings, so to speak. Verse 19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I'd like to call your attention to the word break in verse 19. That word break literally means to unbind. You know, it's not like break, it's to unbind, to loosen. You can see it in the word John the Baptist. "I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloosen the latchets on his sandals." You can see in Acts 7 when Stephen is recounting the Old Testament, the record with Moses, the Lord said unto Moses, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground." That "put off" is this word, luo, and it means to unbind. You can also see a great usage that shows this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it's talking about divorce. And Paul says, "Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosened." To be loosened is that word, unbound. "Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife." So you have this word more than just break. It's to unbind yourself from the law. Now, I know there's modern versions that will use words like relax, but there's a big difference between unbinding yourself to the law and relaxing it a little bit. I think of the speed limit signs. How many of you are aware of the speed limit signs and go 5 miles an hour over it? That would be relaxing, where they don't really pull you over for 5 miles an hour over. That would be relaxing. Unbinding would be get in your car and go. Go as fast as you want, because you're not bound to the speed limit law. See the difference? It's a lot more than just relaxing it a little bit. It's unbinding you from it. And then you're going to see that he's getting into dealing with the Pharisees. So this is like a warm-up for this. So, whosoever therefore shall unbind one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, or teach other men to do that, they shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Remember this Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching the ways of the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom. Verse 20. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. You gotta, you know, when you look at this day and time and who the Pharisees were in that culture, it was a political, religious organization that just prided themselves of, we're the righteous ones. You guys need to step up to us. But Jesus says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard it taught, well, you know, the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, well, that was the law. It's not what it's saying here. Remember, those who do the law and teach, both do and teach it, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Those that teach that you can unbind yourself from this one or that one and cause other men to unbind themselves from this or that, they shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes, except your righteousness exceed that righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I'd like to take a look at this morning a little bit about what that's really talking about. And it's not talking about the Old Testament. It's not talking about that. You had the scribes and the Pharisees, and one of the things I like to call it pedigree and performance. Because they liken their righteousness to their pedigree and their performance. And we know that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it took a Savior, and the law pointed to that Savior till it came, till faith came. Pedigree and performance. The Pharisees really thought that they had salvation because they were of the lineage of Abraham. They thought because their father Abraham was this and he was righteous, then they were too. Just because of their lineage, just because of their genealogy. That would be like Liam and Hudson saying, well, my mom and dad are Christians, so I'm good. Without making a heart choice themselves. Because my family's been going to church for 7 generations that I know of. I'm good too. How does that relate today? There's some people say, well, I've been going to church my whole life. I'm good too. So their pedigree. Let's look at a few examples and see this trusting in their pedigree for righteousness. If you would go back a couple pages or so to chapter 3, and John the Baptist is baptizing. And I guess we'll start in verse 7. But when he saw, that was John the Baptist, right? Got that set? But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to come to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And John the Baptist says to them, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That it wasn't because they were children of Abraham that they didn't need to repent. They didn't see it. Let's go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. We'll spend a little time here. this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 33. Honestly, when you go home, if you want to read something that will really help, read the whole chapter. But for the sake of time this morning, we're going to go to verse 33. They're speaking to Jesus. These are the Pharisees. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" If you know anything about the history of the children of Israel, even when the different tribes were made a nation in Egypt, what were they in Egypt? Slaves and under bondage. So it's almost like you can hear Jesus go, "Huh?" But that's not the kind of bondage Jesus was talking about. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." And he's not talking about Father Abraham either. But you can see, boy, Jesus, the beauty of how he speaks. Getting right at it. "And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Remember Abraham? And God calls him out. "Look up at the stars. Can you declare? Can you tell what you see? If you can, so shall thy seed be." And Abraham believed what God was showing him. Abraham believed, and it was accredited to him for righteousness. In the Bible, you have that term, the father of this, the father of that. It's the person who's known for starting and for being excellent at something. And Jesus, what he saw, what Abraham saw about Jesus, about the Christ, about the Messiah, him being the sacrifice of righteousness, like we heard by the Spirit this morning and we looked at with prayer. Oh, how wonderful that is. That's what Abraham was noted. He is the father of all those that believe. Believe what? That Christ, the Messiah, would be the sacrifice of righteousness. The sacrifice which would acquire righteousness for men once and for all, if they would but just believe in Christ. Just believe in that sacrifice. Trust in that sacrifice to make someone righteous. Verse 41. He's still talking to the Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders. "You do the deeds of your father." And then they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication." What did they think of Jesus? we be not born of fornication. To this day, when Jewish people, hardliners, speak of Jesus, they use a term which means son of a soldier. Meaning that he was really a bastard child. That's what they thought of him. But the glory, the glorious birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the glorious death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you think of this, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. That doesn't mean they needed to go to the audiologist. They couldn't comprehend his word. They wouldn't hear it. They wouldn't obey it. They wouldn't see it as the word of God. You are of your father, the devil. He comes right out. Here you go. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Abraham was the father of those who believe regarding the Christ, and the devil is the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convince or convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? What was a Samaritan? Someone of not a pure Jewish, kind of, not a pure genealogy. We're pure genealogy from Abraham, because that makes us, that gives us righteousness. Because of our genealogy. And then they call Jesus a Samaritan. When you think about how does this gospel of Matthew start? Genealogy. Who was he? The son of Abraham, the son of David. His genealogy. All the way back. And they say this to him. Very interesting, isn't it? And Jesus answered, verse 49, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, and there is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Who makes thou thyself? Think about that. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And what's the answer to that? Yeah. Yeah, he is. Abraham was wonderful. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham believed regarding the sacrifice of righteousness. We'll see what Abraham thought of Jesus Christ. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Verse 54, and Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar just like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto them, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going right through the middle, right through the midst of him, and so passed by. Do you see how staunchly the genealogy they thought was going to give them a righteousness standing before God because of who their daddy was and their grandpa was and their grandpappy was and the grandpappy pappy pappy was. And their righteousness was not built upon the righteousness that Abraham had, which was he believed in the coming one and the sacrifice that he would make and the righteousness that mankind would have because of that Christ. That he was the father of all those who believe, it says. And when we see these things, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Was he talking about the Old Testament law? Nope. What were they banking on that their righteousness was? Their pedigree, their genealogy. Another thing about the righteousness of the Pharisees. Remember how I said this teaching, the subtitle for this teaching is pretty much pedigree and performance? Well, now we'll get to the performance part. If you turn your Bible to Matthew 23. Pedigree and performance, that's what they base their righteousness on. And if your righteousness doesn't exceed that, then you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it's not belittling the Old Testament law at all. Matthew chapter 23. Now we're going to look at the performance. And we'll see what it means by that performance. Verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude. And now this chapter 23, just to give you a kind of a setting for it. A lot of Christendom is celebrating Palm Sunday today. This chapter 23 comes a couple chapters after that triumphal entry into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21. So we got a little Palm Sunday into the teaching today. Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. What a position that is. What does that mean to sit in Moses' seat? They were the ones who were supposed to teach the law to God's people. They had all the cred. Verse 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, whatever they tell you to do, to observe, observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and they do not. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, that they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And this next verse really is the summation of why the righteousness of the Pharisees due to their performance is not a righteousness that will let you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 5. It should be like in all caps. But all their works, how much of their works? Say it. All. All their works they do for to be what? Seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Phylacteries were these little things that they would have on their heads here, where they would have these little boxes with the Word of God in it that would remind them of the Word of God. They make them so big that they would look ridiculous. I swear to God, they would get like a moving box and stick it on their head if they could. Why? All their works that they do were to be seen of men. Look at me and how big my phylacteries are hanging in front of my eyes. I'm really looking at the Word of God. They wanted everybody there to know. And they enlarged their borders. They used to write the Word of God in their borders on their garments. Just a little bit, just so it was there. Kind of almost, instead of a little border, these guys would make big borders with the Word of God on it to show just how spiritual and righteous they were. All their works they do for to be seen of men. You know, it's also interesting, the Pharisees, and they were so interested in what men thought of them, and they wanted to prove to all men how important and righteous and spiritual they were. The Word of God says they get their reward. They'll get their reward. If they prayed, they would pray in front of the public square to make sure people saw them praying. If they gave a gift to someone, an alms to someone, they made sure everybody saw that they did it. And God says, you got your reward. What was their reward? Men saw it. Praise of men. Except your righteousness exceeds that righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whatever they were doomed to be seen. Verse 6. They loved the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. Why? Why did they like the uppermost rooms, the best spot at feasts to be what? Seen of men. Why did they like the chief seats in the synagogue? To be seen of men. It says they love it. That's the word for affection. They were driven by being seen of men and the praise of men. Except your righteousness exceeds that of the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. If what we're living right now is to be seen of men, yeah, we're going to get our reward right now, and it's a short and empty reward. Wow, when you think of it. Verse 7, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi, teacher, teacher. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for there is one, for one is your father which is in heaven. And neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Now, I'm not going to read the whole rest of this chapter. I think everyone's got the point. But I really would encourage you, I really want you guys to read this chapter. Read chapter 6 of John, or chapter 8 of John, where we were, and read this chapter. Because there's woes in here. Look at verse 13. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Verse 14. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 15. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Verse 16. Woe unto you. Verse 23. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Verse 29, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. you look at the examples written in this book. Do you remember the Beatitudes when we're looking at the Beatitudes and how did those Beatitudes start? Blessed are they. Blessed are they. It's a pronouncement of a state of blessing. The opposite is what Jesus Christ is pronouncing unto these folks who are rejecting him, rejecting the will of God, rejecting the justice that God is providing for mankind to stand before him and be accepted by him. It's a pronouncement of grief. Where the blessed are they? A pronouncement of blessing and a state of wonderfulness. The woe is the opposite. Throughout this chapter, you'll see him call them hypocrites. What are hypocrites? Hypocrites are all for show, and they don't do what they show. It was understood in the Greek culture, from the Greek language, that's what the actors did in the Greek play. One actor would play several parts, and the parts that they were playing was the mask that they held up in front of their faces. And he's saying, you hypocrites. You're pushing to the forefront. You're pushing the narrative of how righteous you are and how great you are and how spiritual you are. Yeah, you'll get your reward now. Humble yourselves. John the Baptist, he said, show up with the fruit of repentance if you're going to come, you generation of vipers. Repent in your heart. It requires humbleness to repent. For all of us, but that's what he was talking about. So in close, we'll go back to where we started in chapter 5 and in verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what two things were the scribes and Pharisees banking on for their righteousness? Pedigree and performance to be seen of men. And that's a little bit of understanding of that section. Amen?